You know, I always like to take this opportunity to talk about myself.
Woo!
Looking man, the best dressed man. You know why? Woo, because my name's Ric Flair.
Woo!
Hello and welcome back to the only 7-star wrestling radio show on planet Earth. This is Indie Wrestling Radio. I am your co-host, the Sly One, Jordan Fox, and with me today, back from his excursion to Nashville, Tennessee, it is Mr. Floyd Johnson Jr. Floyd, what's up, dude?
Man, it's honestly about one of the weirdest mornings ever. We're going to discuss one of the things. It's like, honestly, it feels like a lot has happened. In a short amount of time. A lot has happened in a short amount of time, and it's just, whoa. Seriously, I have problems sleeping just trying to take it all in, so I am looking forward to talking about Raw.
Absolutely. Like I said, when we were talking, we just spoke for a few minutes before, kind of just over coffee before we hit, record for the show this morning. And, you know, on my notes, I put, and I was telling you that I wanted to, you know, just remind everyone that tunes in every day, hey guys, don't forget, you know, to vote for us at, on the Wrestle Hubs Twitter account. We are nominated for Wrestling Podcast of the Year and Best Wrestling Review Podcast of the Year. And basically, you know, I was going to plug those two things, but it's such, and I guess I kind of just did. I'm not trying to like sneak my way into plugging those things, but like I was going to talk about them for a few minutes. But as soon as you mentioned Raw right there, I'm like, man, really, like, if you think about it, how can you talk about anything else starting off without talking about, the Roman Reigns situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to, if that's cool, you know, we'll talk about us being nominated, we'll talk about it at length another day, another time, maybe at the end of the show, maybe we'll do it after we talk about Roman to kind of liven it up a little bit. But I want to start off talking about Roman, and that's basically, unless you're living under a rock, you know what happened last night. He came on as soon as the show started last night, WWE Raw, he came out and had to relinquish his Universal Heavyweight Championship belt, because he has been diagnosed with leukemia. And he had leukemia 11 years ago, beat it, was in remission, and he just recently found out it came back. He said that he couldn't, do you remember how he worded it as far as like, I can't keep that promise to you, I can't be the fighting champion right now, so I need to go home and fight the disease. Do you remember exactly how he worded it?
Yeah, he came out and said, you know, he came out in street clothes, had his chain on, said, I come out here as Roman Reigns, and I talk about being the workhorse, the big dog, showing up to work every day and every week. And he said, but unfortunately, I basically lied to you. It's a promise I can't keep. My name is Joe, and for 11 years I've been, you know, in this fight with leukemia, and that's going to cause me to not be able to fulfill my duties as Universal Champion, so I'm here to relinquish the belt.
It's so sad, man. So sad. And, you know, as usual, prior to Roman saying all that, well, first off, I want to back up. I want to ask you. Now, I watch Raw in the morning time. So when I got up this morning and I was making my first cup of coffee, I kind of look over some stuff, and it was all over the headlines what Roman had said and what had happened. So I knew before I turned on Raw what had happened. It didn't make it any less impactful and powerful what he said, but I had already known what he was going to say a few minutes before. You watched Raw live, did you not?
I did. Semi-live. I got home about 7:50. We stopped and got dinner before we came in, and I got to start it from the beginning. So by the end of it, I had caught up. So I did watch it fairly live, yes.
Okay, and so when he walked out and he was just in street clothes, did you immediately think, whoa, hold up, something's not right here?
No, not at all. I thought he was I thought he was coming out as Roman, not being a part of the Shield. The only thing is, he's never not wearing his vest.
Right.
And he wasn't wearing his vest. And I until he announced it, and after it happened, all the clues came in. But yeah. I didn't think anything of it until he said it. That's 100% honest. I'm not going to be one of those people, I thought something was wrong. No, I didn't think anything was wrong. Roman Reigns starts off Raw like 80% of the time.
Right.
So I didn't think of it until he said it. And then I started kind of rewinding, like, oh, he came out in street clothes. He wasn't even wearing his vest. He said his real name. This is a real thing.
Yeah, it's, and you know, you said something, and I want to, you know, be sure and give you credit for it before I say it, and I want you to finish off what you were going to say, because that was, as soon as you started saying this, I was like, whoa, hold that thought. Let's talk about this on air. And I asked you if, because Roman said, I've had it for 11 years. And I asked you if you knew, and you said, no, as far as I know, no one knew. And then you were about to say some more stuff. Do you want to pick it up from there about what you were going to tell me?
I was going to say, I don't think anyone outside of his close family wrestling family knew. What I was saying is, WWE generally markets everything. They use everything. They use everything. And the fact that they have a cancer survivor as their Universal Champion, or as one of their biggest stars for the last few years. He has literally main evented the last four WrestleManias, and they have never used it.
Yeah.
That means that's how serious it is. You know what I mean?
Right. And kudos to Roman, and kudos to the WWE for not doing that, because that, you know, they could have easily, especially, you know, because of the mixed review that Roman gets, they could have championed him as the cancer survivor, I don't think anything would have been wrong with that. But at the same time, I think, you know, the WWE and or Roman looked at it as, or maybe it was just Roman wanting to keep his life separate. I'm not sure. Maybe I spoke too soon saying, I didn't mean kudos in the sense that it would have been wrong of them for not doing it. I just meant that they didn't exploit it. Kudos to them for not trying to exploit it for anything. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I definitely say that. And I mean, Samoans, as far as the culture, from what I know, just from a few friends I have, they're kind of a private culture.
Right.
You know, they don't let everybody know their business. And in wrestling, of course, another, you know, inside culture, wrestling, which is, you know, very tight-knit group, you know, they are very much into the fact that you know, secrets, and they keep everything tight. And, you know, what's real, people can use against you to work against you as far as, you know, as you're trying to sell yourself, sell your brand. So, therefore, you know, I could see there being a reason that they don't promote that.
Right. Yeah, that makes total sense. That makes total sense. But yeah, it's kind of, you know, I wanted to say something about the Roman thing. And this kind of probably, and I know this, applies to both you and I, and, you know, probably 70% of, you know, the WWE universe. And that's, I know there's going to be some people that come out today and they're like, oh yeah, it's total bullshit. Y'all are behind Roman now that he's got a life-threatening disease, and, you know, now y'all are gonna act like y'all love him. Where were y'all at before y'all knew, and blah, 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 blah. Like, and I just want to say that if you're one, if those, for the people that are out there saying that kind of stuff, that is total bullshit. That is so shitty on your part, because, you know, people like you and I and most fans out there have never said anything negative about Roman the person. It's always been about Roman the character. It's no different than disliking J.R. Ewing on the show Dallas. You know what I mean? Like, you and I have never said anything negative about Joe Annoy, or however you pronounce Roman's last name.
I got two very clear statements on this. I've actually said that exact sentence. That I have no problem with Joe Annoy. I have no problem with him. We've said this on this show.
Yeah, you've said that. You said that exact sentence on this show multiple times.
On this show, I have no problem with him. He's a man going to work, doing what he's told.
Yep.
I hate the character Roman Reigns. I never want anything like this to happen to anyone.
Right.
It does. But... and a personal thing, and I don't get into this. And if you followed me on Facebook, how long we've been friends on Facebook for? Quite a while, right?
Quite a while, yeah.
Yes. So you understand my posts are my trips, football, wrestling. I keep my Facebook very light, right?
Right.
So you're not gonna know what I'm about to say. In 2006, December 6, 2006, my dad passed away from leukemia.
Oh wow.
So, this was a several-year battle with it. He was in remission, then it came back stronger, and it came back so strong that literally there was nothing he could do about it, and he was given a time to live, and then he passed away. So, that being said, I saw a man, my hero, my father, strong man, you know, he fixed cars, he grilled, he built sheds. I saw that person. My dad was in Vietnam and was shot 7 times.
Wow.
So, and he lived through it, because literally I wouldn't be here if he didn't. So he lived through it. One of the strongest people I ever met, I saw him waste away and passed away. So when I say I would never wish leukemia on anyone, 100% mean that. And when I say, I always say this, wrestling, I love wrestling. I do. I love it way more than anyone should love anything. But I understand wrestling's not life. Wrestling's fun. It's entertainment. We talk about it. I take it way too seriously. But when it's coming to this is outside of wrestling. This is a man with a child and a wife and a family that loves him very much, and a community of friends and fans that care about his existence, that is about to fight fight one of the most hard things there is to fight in the world, and the things that you have the least amount of control over. You can jump the highest, you can be the strongest, you can do everything the best in the world, but you are just a man when it comes to fighting this disease.
It's very humbling what you just said, man. That's really cool. It's really awesome.
So So this man is going to fight this disease, and I am going to pray for him. I'm going to pray for strength. I'm going to pray that the doctors give him the right doses of everything. I'm going to pray that it's not his time. And that's all we can do. And if he gets to wrestle again, or if he doesn't get to wrestle again, hopefully he gets to live.
Yeah,
that's my only focus. And it's like, Roman Reigns is as far as us being hardcore wrestling fans is probably as big a part of our lives as far as when it comes to wrestling. You really can't have a wrestling conversation without talking about Roman Reigns.
Right.
So no matter if I was a fan of his, he's still a part of my universe. He's still a part of the community that we choose to be a part of. So yes, my full support with Roman Reigns or Joe, my full support with Joe, and I wish him the best.
Absolutely. I 100% agree, and I think one shining light in the situation is that Roman's obviously made a very comfortable living the last few years. He's got a wonderful wife from everything that I've read. He's got at least one daughter that I know of. He might even have more kids. And he has that very close-knit Samoan family that you mentioned just a few minutes ago. So he has a built-in support system, which is a huge thing for anybody going through any type of life-threatening illness or disease. So that can be the shining light in this very, very dark time in his life. Does that, you know what I mean?
Yes.
So good on that. Like you said, everyone will be praying for Roman.
Yeah, and it's just like, I mean, he gets through this, you know, when he does make a wish and all that stuff. You know, very few people that deal with Make-A-Wish kids can say, I know what you're going through.
Yeah.
He's going to be able to say that.
Yeah. Yeah, true.
And it's like very cute kids, and that's going to help. I'm thinking about the kids, you know. That's going to help them, you know. If he never wrestles again, he's main evented 4 WrestleManias in a row. He's pretty much done everything you can do in wrestling. Royal Rumble winner, Universal Champ, WWE Champ, Grand Slam Champion, one of the Varda, one of the best factions of all time. I'm not saying his career is over. I'm not. I'm hoping this is just dot to be continued situation for him.
Right.
But I'm saying if he can't wrestle anymore, he's left his mark.
Right. Yeah, as far as you look at most successful wrestlers in a short amount of time, or, you know, mostly, you know, one of the most successful wrestlers of all time, period. His name is definitely up there on the list. You know what I mean? He makes the short list. So as far as success and, you know, getting to have so many WrestleMania moments, I use air quotes, you know, saying WrestleMania moments, because that's something that fans, yeah, fans and wrestlers alike, you know, strive to have that one WrestleMania moment, you know. So he's had, yeah, multiple of them. So, but yeah, I have full faith that he'll be back, you know, wrestling in no time, or at least, you know, obviously that's the goal. But yeah, more importantly, most importantly, like you said, is that he gets to live, you know. So we'll definitely, you know, be keeping an eye on that, and any kind of updates that we get about Roman, obviously we'll share them with everybody. And you know, I think I speak for Floyd and myself, for both of us, when I say, you know, everyone needs to keep Roman Reigns in their prayers.
Definitely. I mean, if prayer is something you do, hey, you know, definitely do that. And if you just hope, and if prayer's not something you do, just hope that the doctors get everything right. Because you know what? There's so many little things that goes into curing and, you know, someone recovering from it. And I know he's going to have the best doctors that can provide. WWE's going to take care of him. And I mean, a lot of people shit talk to WWE for a lot of reasons, but they do take care of their own. They have sent many, many people to rehab. They will take care of this cancer situation, and they will be there fighting with them the whole time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you can't ask more for a company in that situation. Well, man, let's take a quick break, and we will get back in and cover the rest of Raw. How's that sound?
Yeah, definitely.
Sweet.
Definitely.
Let's do it. All right, guys, we will be right back. All right, guys and gals, and we are back. We took a little pause for the cause. We took a break for a little bit, so you know, we kind of catch our composure and you know, definitely have a little laugh together. You know, after talking about such a serious situation, and we were talking about for just a moment there. We were talking about like bridges as far as going from one segment to the next. And you said that we need to do a little dance break segment. So we need to think of, a song. We need to think of a song, dude. And I will splice us, you know, 3 to 6 seconds, or is it 7 seconds, 7 second dance off, right?
Yes.
7 second dance break.
Yeah. Definitely, because I just said, with the seriousness of this, how do you go back to the very unserious world of professional wrestling?
Exactly.
I mean, professional wrestling has been there, and this is like not even as far as a place of comfort for me my whole life. All 37 years of it, you know, anything's going bad, you know, you got. You know, for the most part, for 25 at least, I had Monday Night Raw. You know, I used to have Saturday nights at 6:05 on TBS. I used to have that for a long time. I forgot what time Superstars came on, but I believe it was like Saturday morning at 10 a.m. You know, it was just like you had all these things, these ways to take the breaks and stuff like that. So I love that. And so that's why I love wrestling so much. It's my escape. It's my fantasy world.
Absolutely, man. Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. So one other thing that I wanted to mention all throughout the show, obviously we're building up to Evolution. And maybe it's just me, dude, but tell me. Does it feel like, is this just a normal build-up for a pay-per-view, or do you think they're giving it a little extra oomph because they're, you know, maybe kind of apologizing to the ladies for going forward with these Saudi shows, even though, you know, they're doing it in a country that obviously does not respect women and doesn't care, it doesn't, you know, explicitly said WWE don't bring any of your female superstars.
I was saying contracts, they have explicitly said it. But what I'm gonna say this about Evolution, because I think it's being marketed well, but I think kind of the card is shitty.
Oh, really? You think so?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, until last week, I really didn't want to see Nikki Bella and Ronda, they haven't done anything to promote. It's just like, now we're getting a throw-in six-woman tag. Like, was there really any build to this Natalia, Sasha, Bayley thing versus the Riot Squad?
Maybe last week they done something as well, but I think last week was just the announcement of the six. No, they just announced the six-man.
Yeah.
They just announced it, right?
Yeah, here you go. Here's something for you to do. Sasha, Bayley, who's been pretty much the figureheads of our division, we're putting you in a nothing six-woman tag match. It's not even hardcore. It's not even TLC. It's just a six-woman tag match.
Yeah, I'm pulling up the... I just clicked to pull up the card real quick to see what we got here. Becky Lynch versus Charlotte, Trish and Lita versus Alexa Bliss, Mickey James, Sasha Banks, Bayley and Natalya versus the Riot Squad.
Don't read the Mae Young Classic winner, even though it says it on there.
Okay.
Because the semifinals is Wednesday, so some people might not have.
Gotcha. the last match I see on here is the NXT Women's Championship match.
Yeah, they announced that last.
Yeah, that was just announced last night too, right?
Last week, yeah. Last Wednesday announced it.
Okay, and I'm going to stop right there. I think it did say something about the Mae Young Classic or something but I'm going to stop right there because I actually haven't – I don't want to be spoiled for it either, to be honest with you.
So, yeah, it's the finals of the Mae Young Classic. Unfortunately, I was in a wrestling group that spoiled who was going to be in the finals, so I knew who was going to win before watching it. I have still immensely enjoyed the Mae Young Classic, and if you do have extra time out there, go ahead and watch it. But, yeah, it's just like – everything's building to Ronda and Nikki.
Yeah.
And it's just...
And you said that until this week, you had no desire to see it.
Last week, you know, with the promo from Ronda, really made me want to watch the match.
So you do want to watch it now.
Yeah, then Nikki came back. But if you think about it, the match shouldn't last more than 30 seconds.
You think so? Think Ronda should just go in there and destroy her?
No, it is... gonna last longer than that, but it shouldn't.
Right.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's just like, you have Nikki Bella, who basically doesn't wrestle. You know what I mean?
Right.
She's a part-timer. And you have Ronda, you know, Stone Cold Ronda Rousey or whatever. You know, you got these things, and it's just like, you look at it, and it's just like, so you're gonna have to have it's going to have to be kind of an attitude error match. You're going to have a lot of interference. You're going to have a way of attacking, you know, Ronda, like Ronda before, or it's not going to make a lot of sense.
Yeah, I agree. Dude, the way this match should have been booked and it should have been built up is freaking new school wrestling versus the Divas era. Nikki Bella should be taken up for the Divas era, you know, defending, you know, wrestling in a nightgown in gravy and all that. And she should be talking about, you know, the women's division was better when sex was selling and, you know, y'all just trying to be like the guys, you know, blah, 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 blah. They should have really, in my opinion, they should have really built it up like that. And then have Ronda go in there and squash Nikki Bella in 15 seconds and break her arm.
Yeah.
That'd have been cool, man. That'd have been cool.
But, like, I feel there's going to be a lot of shenanigans, a lot of outside interference. It's going to be big. Of course, it's going to end probably with Ronda tapping them both out on their arm. But it's just going to be – it's going to have to be this thing because you have this person that – It's like if you had a match with Brock Lesnar versus Heath Slater, and they built it as your main event. You know, Nikki Bella, of course, is a bigger name than Heath Slater. She's, you know, she was the longest reigning Divas champion. You know, she wrestled for a long time. She was pretty much the face of the Divas division at the time. But it's Ronda's a legit badass. You know.
Right.
And it's just like, are you going to have Ronda selling for Nikki?
Oh yeah, absolutely. They are, and it's going to take away from Ronda's character.
Yeah, so it's like, are you going to have Ronda, Nikki's, is it going to be straight up, or is it going to be, are they going to do twin magic a lot, or is it like, yeah, do twin magic where she grabs and puts Brie Bella in the armbar, and Brie Bella taps out, and she says, I didn't tap out, that's not me, you know, that kind of thing. I don't know. I just see a lot of shenanigans playing off, and it's just, again, you want women on equal footing as men. That's the goal. I truly believe women are on equal footing as men.
Yep.
Why not it just be a regular match between two people? Now, if it is a regular match between two people, this match should last 35 seconds. Yep. And that's what I'm saying. It's just like you're painting yourself into all sorts of corners because you shoehorned Nikki Bella into this. Because you thought it was going to mean more ticket sales, and it really didn't.
Yeah.
It didn't. So, I actually feel bad for him in this case. But Evolution, I'm going to watch it. I'm going to cover it. I look forward to doing a match-by-match review with you on Monday on it. I think it's a big step forward in women's wrestling because hopefully this leads to more specialized pay-per-views as far as women getting their own pay-per-view shows because, of course, they have to miss out on the Saudi show because, you know, women aren't allowed to wrestle there. So it's just – like I said, I look at the matches. the only the match I'm really looking most forward to is Becky and Charlotte, Last Woman Standing.
Same here, my friend. And we're going to do a preview of it sometime this week, because it's Saturday, right?
Is it Saturday or Sunday?
Sunday. Or is it two Sundays from now?
No, it's this Sunday. It's the 28th.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Just making sure. And I'll actually be at a Heroes of Wrestling TV taping. I'll be on, you know, the Sly one will be on commentary. So I will be watching it that's on Sunday. I'll be watching it at like 4 a.m. so you and I can review it Monday morning. So,
yeah, I got a lot of friends and family heading out to that show. It's funny because
to Evolution?
To Evolution, yeah.
Really?
And then my women friends that I've through the show, and also I think the Jericho cruise leaves like Thursday or Friday, so it's gonna be a pretty big wrestling weekend.
That's cool. Is the Jericho cruise gonna be is it gonna be airing like on Fight TV or anything?
I think one show is gonna air on Fight TV. The one Bullet Club versus Bucks of Jericho, or is it Y2 Jackson? That match where I think it's Marty, Cody, and maybe Paige against the Bucks and Jericho. I think that either that match or that whole show is airing. Like my friend Stacy, she is going to be on the cruise, and then I have a couple friends that'll be at Evolution. So
gotcha, cool man, cool. I dig it.
Yeah, I hope they do the cruise next year because I would love to go. I would have loved to go this year. It's just it didn't work out.
Yeah, dude, we could double date on the old cruise, take the wives.
Dude, and everything's included. It's so crazy.
That's awesome, dude. We'll definitely have to look into that. Let's start off with Leo Rush. Leo Rush is out. He's pumping up Bobby Lashley. Finn Balor's already made his entrance. Leo Rush, I think I asked you about this last week, but he wears an earpiece, and there's a rumor going around that a few weeks ago he messed up something, he said something wrong, something or another, and now Vince McMahon is micromanaging him and feeding him what to say through the earpiece.
More than likely, it was when he first came out and he called himself a manager, and he said it several times.
And he's supposed to be the hype man?
The hype man. WWE does not like the term manager.
Yeah, I remember that as you've seen that commentary list that leaked a few years ago, right? Where it's like we don't say titles or we don't say belts or whatever, like, you know, stuff like that. And definitely Paul, managers was on there.
Paul Heyman's an advocate. And it's funny because Vince likes branding and stuff like that. And it's hilarious. It's hilarious because every other wrestling fan just calls him his manager.
Yeah.
Leo Rush is Bobby Lashley's manager.
Right.
And we were talking about it on the club. We called it Black Brock and Black Paul Heyman.
Yeah, they do have a similar relationship.
Because he comes out to his own music, and then he pretty much announces Bobby, and Bobby comes out, and he does his pose and doesn't say anything. All the talking's done by Leo Rush. It's like, dude, it's like Vince looked at him and said, dude, if I could have your voice in his body, that would be amazing. And if I could have your body on his voice, that'd be, well, you know what? I'm just going to put you two together. Go for it.
Well, what they're doing didn't seem to work last night. Finn Balor beats Lashley in 8 minutes and 40 seconds, although Lashley did dominate almost the entire match. He rolled him up. I felt like it was okay. It was kind of low, as far as energy goes, but I mean, these guys, I mean, they just had to sit through their friend and coworker Roman Reigns talking about, being diagnosed with leukemia. So, I mean, hard to, you know, open the show, not just in regards to the crowd, but in your own work. I mean, you know.
Yeah, I honestly think that's why Finn Balor won.
Think so?
You get the crowd. I mean, it was something shocking. Bobby Lashley had only been pinned by Roman Reigns. I almost said Ronda Rousey. Brock Lesnar had, Bobby Lashley had only been pinned by Roman Reigns.
Right.
That was his only defeat since he got back. So you needed something shocking to kind of wake the crowd up. Everybody assumed Finn was going to go out there and job again. He gets the roll-up victory.
Nice. I like it. Makes sense. We see Dolph and Drew talking backstage, and they know that they have each other. They have to watch their backs, basically. They're talking about how they got to watch their backs. Dolph kind of seemed like he's very confident that Drew is going to stick with him. Drew kind of, to me, seemed like he was more out for himself than anything. More like, kind of like he's stringing Dolph along, but Dolph, it appears, to me that Dolph's under the impression that they are, you know, bros for life, that he's got nothing to worry about. Drew says that he made the choice to hit Braun with the Claymore kick because he could read the writing on the wall. He said after he power slammed Dolph, he knew he was coming for him next, so he attacked first. Dolph says he wants to cement his legacy at Crown Jewel, blah, blah, blah. Drew says he's going to go monster hunting tonight. And then we cut to our next match, which is Ruby Riott versus Sasha Banks. This is Sasha Banks. This is only one of her first few matches back, right?
This is, this is
her, televised anyway. I'm sure she's working house shows. Did anybody ever disclose the injury? I don't know. Usually they're not so tight-lipped about injuries like that, so I don't know if that's something weird.
Might have been super personal.
Yeah, I get you. Makes sense.
Yeah, like, especially with women, that a lot of times you'll get they're gone for personal reasons.
Right.
Yes, like when Charlotte, her boob popped.
Right.
And she had to get it redone. They didn't really say why she was gone.
Yeah, gotcha. Makes sense. So in this match, you had Natalya, Bayley, Logan and Morgan all at ringside. There's a bit of... Well, Ruby Riott ends up winning the match by nefarious means. It went 10 minutes. It was... I liked it. It was solid back and forth, and there was a little bit of fighting between, you know, like Natalya, Bayley, and Logan and Morgan, which I thought was cool. You kept Sasha looking strong. Thought it was a fun match. What about you?
Yeah, I thought it was definitely a fun match. I love Liv Morgan and how she plays her character.
Yeah.
Just it's not Harley Quinn. It's her own take on being kind of a spoiled brat, and I really dig it. And Sarah Logan's just kind of the crazy chick. And then Ruby Riott, you know, they are really like a hodgepodge. The closest thing I can equate to them is they're like a female's Ravens flock.
Oh, yeah. I like that.
Because, you know, everybody in the flock was completely different. And then, yeah, it's kind of like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I dig it. I dig it, man. Next, we have Nia Jax cutting a promo about WWE Evolution and breaking barriers. She is in the Battle Royal. She says she's going to win the Battle Royal on Sunday. Next, we get, are you ready? We get DX.
About 2 hours past their bedtime.
Yeah. Sean looked tired as hell, man.
Always looks tired. He's been tired since 1997.
Oh, my God. And you know what? I was glad to see they at least were poking fun at themselves.
He said, I don't know what that means. I just thought it meant new merch.
Yeah, nostalgia. You know, nostalgia. He said, when people were saying nostalgia, I was thinking, all right, new merch. And that was definitely something that they were accused of in 2007. Is that the last time or 2009? The last time DX got together, they were coming out, and I mean, they just had all merch all the time. It was just, it was an obvious ploy to make money, right?
Even in the 90s, late 90s, they were always like, buy the shirt, buy the shirt. And it was just like, it was something no one had been doing. I mean, NWO and DX, they were pretty much the ones doing that. They were telling you how poor it was for you to buy their t-shirt.
Right. My favorite t-shirt hawk, you know, like people trying to sell t-shirts, was Kevin Nash and Scott Hall trying to sell their Outsider shirt on a commercial. And they were like, you could get one for 20 or two for 40 right now. Like there was no deal. You weren't getting a discount, but it was just the way he made it sound like you were, you know.
Yeah, yes.
One for 20 or two for 40 right now.
yeah, Kevin, that's when Kevin would end it with, buy the shirt!
Yeah, that's right. Anyway, Triple H says a lot of big words being thrown around here, including fear. It's going to take more. It's going to take more to instill fear in them than a couple of guys taking a lunch break to step into a boiler room to make threats. HBK says they're not running for mayor. He's not running for mayor, so he's not trying to be nice to anybody. Are you looking forward to this match at all, man?
No.
Me neither.
No, I mean, I've been clear, and honestly, I don't plan on watching this show. I plan on reporting on the show if anything significant happens, but as of now, I don't plan on watching it just because of my own personal social reasons. Just, I don't think the show should be happening.
I agree. And you know what? I really respect that. And I did. And just for the record, just so no one thinks that we, you know, planned this little talk right here. But I did not know that. This is actually I did not know that you were planning on boycotting this show until just now.
And the police believe they get my $9.99 every month.
Right. Yeah. So mine too.
It's not a boycott. I'm not canceling. I am choosing to not watch this 3.5-4 hours of programming.
Gotcha.
I'm going to still watch NXT. I'm still going to watch 205 Live. I'm still going to watch Mae Young Classic. I have no problem. I just don't think this particular show should happen.
Yeah.
Because I don't like the idea that some of my favorite wrestlers might be in danger.
Yeah,
that's it. There's no political things behind it for me.
I got you.
It's just, I don't think this show should happen.
Makes sense. So they next we see that they start talking about Crown Jewel, the Saudi Arabia show, and they announce that Brock Lesnar and Braun Strowman are actually going to compete 1-on-1 for the Universal title. It was going to be a triple threat before that, right? Until Roman had to withdraw?
Yes. And the sad part is I really want to see this match. like I hated it being a triple threat. You know, so once they made it 1-on-1, Braun and Brock, singles match for the title, hey, I'm down with it. And again, years down the line, I might watch it, but I'll just find out what happens in this one, and I'm looking for it because of the build. Paul Heyman came out here and he did his masterwork.
Yeah, and we're about to talk about that right meow.
He took the Roman Reigns situation. He started talking about the Roman Reigns situation, and he used that to build into the fact that you deserve a champion that you can be proud of, and that Brock's going to beat Braun. And honestly, Paul Heyman should be teaching these people about transitions, because that was how you do it.
Yeah, he should be teaching guys, and who's to say that he's not? We don't know for sure that he's not, but he should be teaching promos, and just as importantly, like you said, segues. Yeah, transitions.
Yeah, because this was perfect.
It was, wasn't it?
He took a real life situation and said, you were proud of him as your champion. He was a proud champion. You deserve another champion that you can be proud of. Boom.
Yep. He was able to talk about the Roman Reigns situation without exploiting it You know what I mean? And staying respectful to Roman, and segueing it into a kayfabe storyline.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I thought it was really cool, man. Real quick, we skipped over Dana Brooke cut a promo about Evolution. You know what? She also claims to win she's going to win the Battle Royal. If you had to guess what the Vegas odds were on Dana Brooke winning the Battle Royal, would you say they were better or worse than 1 to 1,000?
I would say worse.
Ooh. I wonder, is there a way we can look that up?
I don't know. All I know is, did you notice how red her lipstick was?
No, I didn't. Was it like...
Like, really, really red. It was, like, to the point where it was, like, it took away from her face. And almost, it was so red it made me stop paying attention to what she was saying to a point. But, yeah, it was kind of crazy. And, you know, and this is funny because they don't... I am being very honest that this is a double standard, and I wouldn't say this about a man. But she was basically buried, right? You know? Mm-hmm. We hadn't heard from Dana Brooke in, like, forever, right? A couple weeks ago, she announces that she... Or three weeks ago, she announces that she's dating Enos Kanter from the Knicks.
Really? And, former Oklahoma City Thunder.
Thunder, yeah. Enos Kanter also says he's in talks with the WWE. Ever since then, she's been on TV every week in somewhat of a role where, like, she threw the last person over the top ropes last week. And she was kind of featured. Just kind of out of nowhere.
Wait a second. Kanter is talking about, like, leaving the NBA to come be a full-time wrestler?
Not a full-time, but, you know, doing some stuff with the WWE.
Really? So you think that her situation with the company has improved because they're trying to possibly foster some sort of relationship with him?
Yes. I imagine... He doesn't not like seeing his girlfriend on TV, or when she's on TV, her getting destroyed.
Gotcha.
I'm not saying that's completely the reason. Dana Brooke may have been doing really hard work backstage and really caught somebody's eye, but I don't believe in coincidence.
You don't believe in coincidences at all?
Not really.
I got you.
I believe everything kind of happens for a reason. Like I am one of those people. I am a very optimistic and positive person. And like I said, I can pretty much, you can give me any news, I can turn it to where it was positive.
All right, here we go. In terms of betting odds, Asuka at a 4-1 odd is the current favorite to win the Evolution Battle Royal, with the top 10 being rounded out by Ember Moon at 9-2 odds, Naomi 9-2, Nia Jax 8-1, Tamina 8-1, Carmella 10-1, Lana 10-1, and Dana Brooke 11-1.
11-1.
Yeah.
Cuz I think Tori Wilson's going to be in a Battle Royal, and I figured she'd get better odds.
Yeah, Alicia Fox 16-1 and Sonya Deville 16-1. That's just rounding out the top 10. That's all it's showing me right now.
Okay.
What was I going to mention? Oh, Tamina. The surprising thing right there, Tamina having better odds than Carmella and Lana. Carmella, freaking former world champion. I think that's just the power because of the, Tamina's.
Yeah, she's considered a powerhouse chick and she just came back.
Yeah. They might be giving her a push.
They might just be giving her a moment because she's been with the company so long. If you remember when the Usos debuted, she was their third. I don't think you were watching then. She was their third, like their manager.
No, I didn't know that.
She's been around the company a long time. She's had major knee surgery. She's had major shoulder surgery. And if they're not announcing that you get like a title shot at the Battle Royal or anything, and it's just the Battle Royal, it might be something they're just kind of throwing to her.
Yeah, like the women's battle royal at not the Royal Rumble, the Battle Royal. Did Naomi win a battle royal?
Naomi won it.
Okay, that's what I thought.
What was that?
The Memorial Battle Royal?
WrestleMania's Women's Battle Royal.
That's the one that they were going to name after
Moolah, and they had Moolah to change.
Okay, yeah. So I guess it's just similar to that. There's no world title being connected with it or anything. World title shot.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. If they don't announce anything before then, I could see them giving it to Tamina. Just kind of a Battle Royal is one of those things, you know, it doesn't say who's the best. It just, you know, you can really play up the luck part on it if you wanted to.
Gotcha. Braun Strowman arrives. He says he's going to be beating Brock's ass all over Crown Jewel and taking the title. He promises to give Reigns the first title shot whenever Reigns comes back. I thought that was pretty cool for him to kind of throw that in there. And he said, but for now, Brock's going to get these hands.
Did you notice that was a very face promo by Braun?
Yeah, I know, man. What are they doing with him, bro?
They need a number one face again.
Because Roman's going to be out, and yeah, they're wanting to continue to push Brock as a heel, I guess?
Yes, and most importantly, if you notice, in his heel turn, Braun didn't do a lot of heel things. I mean, even when he had the Money in the Bank, he challenged him. He challenged him in a cage match. Everything he did was to Roman's face.
Right.
There was no sneak attacks in the back. There was nothing like that. He got Dolph and Drew so they would have his back to balance out the Shield.
I got you. I was getting a drink of my coffee there. That was what the awkward silence was.
They did everything they could not to make him full heel.
I got you.
So now that he's kind of leaning towards that face area, you know.
You think he's going to go full on face again, or you think he'll be a tweener or what?
Ron is never full anything.
Gotcha.
Ron just thinks Ron is the biggest and baddest and thinks nobody can mess with him. Yeah. So he does that.
Gotcha. Let's see. So Braun's out here talking to Heyman because Heyman's cutting the promo and he says that Brock's going to kick Braun's ass. Braun comes out and says what I just said. And then while Braun's out there, Drew McIntyre comes out there and claymores the shit out of him, right?
Yes. And he's, again, one of the few things, he sells it. He stays down.
Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was awesome the way he sold it, and then, you know, he gets up to his feet once Drew gets up to the top of the walkway, and they kind of, you know, have this stare off and the camera zoom in on each of their faces and stuff like that. Yeah, I thought this segment was well played. Another thing that I seen on Twitter, which made me put this in my notes, is that supposedly, now this is what someone else wrote, I forgot who shared it on Twitter, but it was in either Wrestling Inc. or Ringside News column, and it said Heyman is actually close with the Reigns with Roman Reigns and his family, so that had to be hard for him to do.
Absolutely. No, and that's not just like Ringside News reporting it. I mean, he was the manager of the Samoan SWAT team. He was all the different Samoan teams that he managed. He managed, you know, Roman's dad.
So Heyman and Roman Reigns are actually, that's what I was getting at, is if you had heard that. They've got to be somewhat close, I guess, is what you're saying,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they're tight. Yeah, Paul Heyman says he learned wrestling, and this may be kayfabe, but whatever. But he said he learned wrestling from, you know, riding in the cars with Roman's dad.
Yeah, I do remember that promo a couple months ago.
Yeah, so that may be kayfabe, but I'm just saying, He managed a lot of teams. He was pretty much synonymous with the Samoans for a long time.
I got you.
So you don't work together that long and not develop some type of relationship.
Hmm. Yeah, that's pretty cool. Heyman's been around the block, dude. He's been around the block.
He has.
He's, and you know what? That same column that I was referencing, it went on to say the same thing that you said a minute ago. You know, Heyman did a magnificent job weaving the unfortunate reality of the situation into building to the new match without negatively exploiting it. That is exactly what you said a minute ago, what you and I said a minute ago about Heyman.
Yeah.
Mostly you. We get a video package on Lita and Trish versus Alexa Bliss and Mickie James at Evolution.
I do have some breaking news on that.
Uh-oh.
Alexa is injured, and she will not be competing in Evolution.
Oh, what she got? What's the injury?
They did not announce the injury. She hurt herself over the weekend, so it more than likely will be Alicia Fox replacing her.
Wow. You heard it here first.
Yeah.
That was a horrible... I'm not so good at segues like Paul Heyman is. My little... next, we got Dolph praising Drew for laying him out. Drew says that he isn't afraid of Braun. He says people are like children being afraid of this monster. I ain't afraid of no monster, blah, blah, blah. We get Elias, and I thought for sure, dude, he was going to be able to finish the song finally, man. Thought he was. What's your current thoughts on Elias, man? You still liking him? You getting bored of him? What's the deal?
Oh, no, he doesn't bore me at all. I love Elias, and with tonight, I think they're accepting that people love Elias.
Think so?
Yeah, I mean, basically, you're talking about this interaction. I was going to let you finish and say this interaction was very much a face turn.
Yeah, true story. Now, well, yeah, and I was going to say that my thing was is I was going to say, you know, it seems like Elias has got a babyface promo here, you know, getting into it with Apollo Crews. But then he goes and hits Baron Corbin from behind with the guitar. But you could still argue that that is still babyface. There's no argument because Baron Corbin is so universally hated by the WWE universe, right?
Correct.
So, I mean, he did kind of, I mean, it does seem like he's turning face on us there.
Yes. I mean, the easy way to turn face is to go up against Baron Corbin because people hate Baron Corbin.
They do hate Baron Corbin so much.
Yeah, like there is no. I mean, they hate him.
I think this character is kind of suiting him, man. What do you think?
Oh, it's perfect. It's such. I imagine he's not that big of a dick, but you know. This is his normal personality turned up. Because that's what he said. There was this behind-the-scenes thing. I don't watch a lot of them, but WWE. And he's like, he was a face when he came out in NXT. And he said, people kind of realized you were a dick, huh? And he's like, yeah. And that's why they turned him heel. Scott Hall called him out. He's like, yeah, people realize you're kind of a dick. And you know, he said it in that Scott Hall way, like, very calm, meta. He wasn't calling you a dick, but he's just, it was a fact. You are a dick.
I love it.
It was like, there was not like, people realize you're a dick, right? And he's like, yeah. I was like, it was like one of those situations, like, generally, if anybody other than Scott Hall said that, you would probably got offended. But Scott Hall has this way of saying it where this is just a fact. I'm not holding it against you. And that's what he said. I'm not holding it against you. They kind of figured the same thing out about me.
I love it. So Elias and Apollo Crews end up having a match. It went 8 minutes, 7 minutes, 58 seconds to be exact. I thought this match sucked, bro. What'd you think?
I barely paid attention to it. Because, honestly, I love Elias when he's on the mic and he's playing a guitar. He wrestles like a 1970s wrestler. I mean, it's a lot of kicks, punches, chin locks, sleep.
That's true. Next we get Kurt Angle cutting a promo regarding the WWE World Cup to determine who's the best in the world. Man, to be honest, for this being a World Cup, seems to be a lot of Caucasian
Americans in it, right?
Seems to be a lot of Caucasian color in the
We didn't even get Finn bracket. Balor.
We didn't, did we? How did you not get Finn Balor?
Finn Balor, Drew McIntyre, Rusev. I mean, we got nothing.
We didn't get Shinsuke either, right?
We didn't get Shinsuke.
Yeah.
I mean, the closest thing to a not closest thing, and I'm saying he's American, but the closest thing to a non-American we got was Rey Mysterio.
We got Rey, yeah.
And he represents Mexico a lot, but, I mean, his move's called the 619 because he's from the San Diego area.
Right, right.
So it's just like, yeah, and it's funny. It's funny. I always wondered this, and tell me if you've ever wondered this. When they're coming up with these ideas, and they're in a writer's room, they're doing the storyboards, they're deciding who's going to win or something, do they not have a quality guy that says, for this to be a World Cup, this is really white?
I have no idea, man.
It just feels like they should have a guy that comes in and says that. That literally should be his job. His job should just be the asshole fan.
Right.
That's what his job should be. Just to come in and point out problems with it. And then once he points out the problem with it, they decide if they can live with it or not. And then, you know, they maybe can get ahead of it. You know what I'm like? They can be like, we knew this, the thing, but we decided this was the best 8 people or whatever. But it just feels like they should have that guy. And sometimes it feels like glaringly obvious they don't have that guy. Mm-hmm. Everybody just says yes to McMahon. They need a guy in there that his whole job is just say no.
Yeah, true. Very true, man. I agree. We should apply. We should apply and try to get him to create a job. Yeah, we have him create 2 positions. We got one for all Raw content, one for all SmackDown content.
Yeah, and it's like you don't even need to have a degree or no TV. Your job is to be like, that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Because this to be determined the best in the world, you got a bunch of old guys and a bunch of white guys. So you're condescending the term, the only way to be the best in the world is to be American. And you're doing it in Saudi Arabia.
Oh, man. It's horrible.
I mean, am I pointing out? I feel like I'm just saying what other people are saying here. It's like,
you're right, yeah. Man. I mean, it's so dumb.
It's so dumb.
Yeah. Next, we get the Ronda versus Nikki contract signing. Michael Cole is our host. Remember when Michael Cole would stay on the desk and Taz would go in there and host it?
Yes.
I don't know why they don't have Corey Graves go in there now.
Corey Graves is so cool.
Too cool for school?
Yep.
During the contract signing, Nikki tried to get underneath Ronda's skin, was trying to get her to attack her. I'm not really sure why. Do you know why? Was it just to get in her head or what?
I think I might have missed something where they weren't allowed to do. No, because no, Nikki attacked her, so no, I have no idea.
Well, Nikki says.
She threw some barbs out there that would get other people killed.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Them's fighting words, bro. She was like, didn't you tell your mom? And I'm not, just for the record, I'm not speaking like this because she's a woman. I'm speaking like this because
That's how she said it.
I think Nikki Bella has puts on a very fake voice that so many reality TV stars do to try to brand themselves, you know? And I think she is trying to do that. So she's got, you know, she just got that voice, you know what I mean? Didn't you promise your mom that you were going to, like, win the Olympics? That's all I can remember.
Yeah, then world championships like she did. Didn't you promise your mom that you were never going to get hurt in the UFC and that you were going to finish your career undefeated?
That's right. That's right.
And then she did her rage face. Ronda did her best rage face, which was pretty good. And, I mean, pretty much Nikki, she just turns the paper around for Nikki. Nikki signs it and then slaps Ronda.
Yeah. And Ronda kept her composure and she said, I'll see you. She said, I'll see you at Evolution or something like that.
She says, on Sunday, I will end you.
Ooh, I will end you. Them's fighting words, bro. Well, I mean, if you didn't already punch a girl in the face for talking about your mama, you ain't punching the girl in the face. You know, just not you, Floyd. People in general. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Next, we get Seth and Dean are interviewed. Dean says there's no words to talk about the Shield's bond for the last 6 years, which that reminds me. I thought that after the Roman announcement, the way Renee Young spoke candidly, I thought that was very touching, where she said, you know, Roman has been side by side with my husband for the better part of 6 years. They've had some of the best times in their life. And she was, you know, acknowledging that Dean Ambrose is her husband. I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and that, and mostly that, you know, because Dean Ambrose's husband, that him, Roman, and Seth are real life friends.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess apparently for at least a time they were traveling together and everything else.
Oh, yeah, when they first got called up, yeah, it was them three on the road together because they were literally, they didn't know what they were doing. So they were actually trying every day, rolling together, trying to figure out what this whole idea of the Shield was going to be.
Yeah. Yeah, they, I don't know where they're going to go. We'll talk about it here in a minute, but I don't know where they're going to go with the Shield. Dean says that when you don't know what to do or say, you just do what you always do, and that's what we'll do tonight. And Seth says, win. So they're talking about winning the tag team championships against Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre. Next, we get a little taste of Sunday's Battle Royal. We get a Nia Jax versus Dana Brooke versus Tamina versus Ember Moon. And it lasted a whopping... Take a guess how long it lasted, man.
2 minutes.
1:55. Can you believe that? They had a Battle Royal... a miniature battle royal that is supposed to be used to set up a actual battle royal that they want you to pay $9.99 a month for to be able to have access to. And they have a female battle royal in there that lasts 1:55. Is that not ridiculous?
But it's just Raw. I mean, it's what Raw does.
Yeah, I guess always. They announced Michael Cole, Beth Phoenix, and Renee Young are going to be on commentary for Evolution. What do you think, man? Do you think Michael Cole is a... first off, do you think Beth Phoenix and Renee Young, do you think either one of them need to be carried at all on the commentary booth?
No, not at all.
You think they'll be able to supply adequate
Renee
banter?
Renee she's been very honest about never wanting to do play-by-play.
Yeah, she wants to be color person, right?
Yeah.
I gotcha. Makes sense. We get Susan G. Komen after that. That lasts a segment that has Titus O'Neil was in it. Not, you know what I mean? They take turns each week and a different superstar comes out. And awards them with their very own.
Hey, know, I completely skip it.
Say what now?
I skip it.
Yeah. I was just saying it's just what they did.
It's just so out of place to me.
Yeah. To be honest, and this isn't, you know, I don't want people to take it the wrong way, but I don't watch it either. I don't think most people do. Like, it's good for what they're doing. It surprises me that they even put it on TV, I guess, to raise awareness would be my Facebook assumption.
Yeah, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Snapchat. I think I'm naming them all. I was like, and you have your own website and your network.
Yeah.
You can put it on any of that.
Yeah.
Why do you have to literally take minutes out of your TV show to put it back? That you could have made that battle royal match that much longer.
True. Next, we get Trish and Lita interviewed backstage. I forgot who they were, what they were talking about, and all of a sudden, Alicia Fox arrives. And then Mickey James ends up getting them from behind. They get split up, and then Mickey James and Alicia Fox are talking, and then they get beat up by Trish and Lita, and one of them says, I think it was Trish, said, "That's how we did it in the Attitude Era." Pooh. And walks off. What'd you think about the comment?
How you did it in the Attitude Era is that you weren't on TV unless you were in your bra and panties.
Oh, man.
I mean, that's how you did it in all Attitude Era. You were literally on a leash barking for Vince. I remember that.
Oh, man. I mean,
she was literally the manager of a tag team called TNA.
That was testing Albert, bro. Come on.
But I know. What they were talking about. Come on, man.
No, I know. next we have, or I guess finally rather, we have Dolph Ziggler and Drew McIntyre, the tag team champions, defending against the two remaining members of the Shield, which is Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose. Dude, I thought this was a fun match with Seth Rollins and Dean Ambrose winning and becoming the new tag team champions.
Okay. I love Braun coming out, and I love him attacking Drew. I would have liked that. Even battling to the back, I would have liked that to be more even.
Okay.
You've been selling for Drew.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
But when he comes out, you stop selling for him.
Yeah.
You should sell for Drew. I think the best way to sell Drew and Braun, as in Drew's as big as Braun, his punches have actually hurt Braun. Because Drew is about 6'6", 6'7". He's only an inch or two smaller than Braun. And he's a good 280.
Wow, yeah.
I mean,
big boy.
Drew McIntyre might have the best physique in the WWE.
Yeah, he looks amazing.
Okay. So if Braun's, he is definitely bigger than Roman Reigns, and Braun sells for Roman Reigns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He is significantly bigger than Roman Reigns. And if Braun sells for Roman, Braun should be selling for Drew. I like that they battle in the background. That's just a small, I take wrestling way too seriously, detail that annoyed me.
I can understand it. It's the little stuff, man. It's the little stuff.
Yeah, especially, and let me tell you, especially 30-something years later. Big macro stuff, you've seen all of that. You start paying attention to the details.
Hmm. Yeah.
After this long, and it's just like, come on. I mean, I understand Braun's supposed to look like the face. He's definitely supposed to get the better of him, but I would have liked to see it as a more even battle instead of Braun just kind of beating him up.
Yeah. Yeah, right now they've got it kind of set up that Drew is human and Braun is a monster. When I really feel like you could do some stuff. I lost my train of thought, but you could do some stuff where Drew becomes a monster and then it's monster versus monster. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry, I completely lost my train of thought there, reaching for my coffee and It's too early, man. It's too early. But now we have come to the moment, my friend, that we've talked about. They've been hinting towards it for several weeks now. And that is Dean turning on Seth Rollins, giving him the dirty deeds. And my question, I got a couple questions for you. And I want you to, you can answer them one by one or however you want to do it. But basically, did you see this coming? Was this the right time for it to happen?
Yes.
Will the titles be vacated?
Yes. So no, no, yes, and yes. No, and let me elaborate. Did I see it coming? No. No idea. I figured it would happen eventually, but it was the perfect, they needed it to get, you know, to end on something wrestling, and they needed to break the Shield completely.
Right. So,
because the Shield's not the Shield without Roman. So if the Roman's not there, they're not the Shield. So Dean, go ahead and turn. That's a big moment to end the show on. So you got two big, you set up, you took it and set up two feuds. You set up the Dean and Seth feud, and now you've set up the Braun and Drew McIntyre feud in this one match. Was it the right time? Absolutely. Absolutely. It was just, it was perfect because nobody was expecting it. And again, and it's funny, and this is something you get with some wrestling fans, not all, but there are a lot of internet wrestling fans. If I saw it coming, it's predictable. If you don't do what I thought you were going to do, it was stupid.
Yeah.
So you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
We as wrestling fans can really suck sometimes.
Yes. It's like, yeah, yeah. This is what I thought was going to happen, and it didn't happen. But yeah, when they do what you think is going to happen, oh, this is so predictable. This completely was not predictable. And everybody's like, oh, it was stupid. No, this was perfect. To me, I put, as far as wrestling, I put shocking me over since.
Oh, really?
Because I've watched wrestling my whole life, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's very few times. I do two podcasts on wrestling, and I'm talking about wrestling 5 or 6 days a week. It is very very rare that you shock me.
Mm-hmm.
So, I long to be shocked. I long to not know what's coming up next. Didn't see it coming. And the way they did it. They win the tag belts. They're hugging after winning the tag belts. And then he kicks them in the stomach and dirty deeds them.
Yep. Yep, yep, yep.
I mean, you want to talk about making sense? What makes sense is he does it before they win the titles. That's what made sense.
I don't know, man. He was very adamant about wanting a title. Remember, like, I could be Intercontinental Champion, so maybe he wants a title to carry around, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But I'm saying they went with the shock value, and I was so satisfied with it.
Yeah.
It left me waiting. And I make this point often. I want to know what happens next now.
Yeah. I agree. My last question for that, I forgot to ask you this a second ago, but in regards to Dean turning on Seth, do you think that this was the plan, was going to happen like this on tonight's episode of Raw if Roman wouldn't have relinquished the title? And
I don't even think the tag team match happens on Raw tonight.
Really?
If the Roman situation doesn't happen.
So they would have kept pushing on with the, with the Shield fully intact and being a main part of the show and everything.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think they were in the writer's room yesterday making some drastic changes.
Makes sense. Makes sense.
I think Elias turned face because of the Roman thing. I think Braun went more to a face role because of the Roman thing. I think Bobby Lashley lost because of the Roman thing. I think they had a plan for the show and it completely got scrapped.
Uh-huh. Makes sense. I mean, it makes total sense that
it would be like OU last year and Baker Mayfield getting hurt.
Yeah, I see what you're saying.
You had to go to Kyler Murray, who's a completely different quarterback. Mm-hmm. You got to change your game plan.
Right.
You can't go in with the same idea. I mean, seriously, this changes WrestleMania.
Yeah, and when you're you're a three-man faction and you lose a member indefinitely, you're now a two-man faction. Things work different.
Yeah.
And there was already some animosity. You know, Dean was giving us, you know, sometimes very noticeable signs that he was planning on leaving the Shield, I guess you would say.
I think they were teasing it, and I thought my thing was after Survivor Series, they were going to trade Dean back to SmackDown.
Oh.
I thought that was how they were going to break the Shield up.
Wow, that would have been, I don't know, I don't know if I would like that if they broke him up that way or not. I'm not sure what my thought would be.
But like I said, that's not how it happened. It's just like, but, you know, it's weird. And again, negative until positive. When you look at these type of things in wrestling, the best things have come from, you know, having to make sudden change. When Finn Balor literally wins the Universal title and breaks, you know, messes up his shoulder while winning the Universal title. Then we got the whole Kevin Owens Jericho thing. We got Kevin Owens' Monday Night Owens, that whole run. We got the Festival of Friendship. Then we got KO versus Jericho at WrestleMania. I mean, this. We got Goldberg coming back because of that. This whole thing happened because Finn Balor got hurt, and they had to pivot.
It's insane. You take one. It's like playing. What's that game? Jenga, where you take one piece out, and if you're not careful, the whole thing will fall.
Yeah, and it's just, and I mean, that's what wrestling. It's such a star-driven thing. It's just like, you think about it. It's like. You know, what if one of the Bucks got hurt? You know?
Uh-huh.
They're the Young Bucks, you know?
Right, right.
You can't just throw another guy in there. You have to completely change how you're booking them.
Yeah, and yeah, 100%. I never even thought about that one, because that one would really suck for both of them.
Yeah, so it was like you'd have to change everything, because they're the Young Bucks. They're not, like, it's the Shield. The Shield is Dean, Seth, and Roman. And mm-hmm. It's like, oh, I don't need somebody to cover for one match. We don't know. He's out for an undisclosed amount of time if he comes back.
Right.
The best thing to do was just to completely break it.
Yeah, because they've already proven that they can bring it back together and make it whole again if they need to.
Yeah, and now you got a tag team that doesn't like each other.
Yep.
You can put the belts on
tag
whoever you want.
Tag team champions.
Yeah, you got a tag team champion. You can put the belts on whoever you want. If you finally think it's time to pull the trigger on AOP, AOP could come out, Dean could bounce, and AOP just destroy itself, or the vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or you could have the Revival go in there, and you could go with the idea that Seth and Dean just can't work together, and the Revival is a better tag team and winning. You can put the tag team belts on whoever you want.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. I agree 100%. I don't have any type of big rebuttal on that one, because...
You could put it on the Ascension, because, again...
I wouldn't go with that one.
I wouldn't do it. I'm not saying you would do it, but I'm saying they're wrestling, they're dominating the Ascension. Dean grabs Seth, Dirty D's, and walks out. The Ascension get the pin.
True. Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't have to be... That's what I'm saying is it doesn't have to be that the other team is better than the Shield now, because technically you can make it 3-1.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do what you want.
Do what you want. That's it, man. And it looks
like that was the show.
Yeah, that's the show right there. And we are actually running out of time as well. So we hit it just a few minutes over. So why don't you tell us, tell myself and the thousands and millions of IWR's fans listening around the world, Floyd. Tell them where they can find you on the weekend.
I first want to say you can go to any Indie Wrestling Radio Facebook page, and I actually threw up some pictures, just some select pictures, because I took like 200 pictures. Wow. So I threw up about 30 on the Indie Wrestling Radio Facebook page. So you can go through and check out some pictures from NWA 70. Or you can go to Around the Ring, okay, on Facebook.com/AroundTheRingOkay, Twitter.com/AroundTheRingOkay. And, you know, I put pictures everywhere, you know, just talking about my weekend. NWA 70 was a very good weekend. I'm definitely thankful that I get to go to these things. And with everything that happened last night, it puts it more in perspective of how important it is to actually just live your life and enjoy it.
Enjoy it indeed, my friend. For everyone else out there, guys, we appreciate you tuning in every single day. We truly do. I know you probably get tired of hearing me say it, but we truly appreciate it very, very, very much. So from Floyd and myself, stay strong and too sweet.
Hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling. Tossed salads and scrambled eggs. Mercy. And maybe I seem a bit confused. Yeah, maybe, but I got you pegged. But I don't know what to do with those tossed salads and scrambled eggs. They're calling again. Scrambled eggs all over my face. What is a boy to do?